Thank God. Well, we've been talking about, haven't for some weeks now because of the holidays, but talking about the seven steps to the highest kind of faith. And we're on part three. And I encourage if you didn't hear some of those, especially the first two in the series, just were really good. And then we go on in the second part. We're stayed on the second part for quite a while. And we're on the third part. This is knowing the reality of the new birth and the new creation. We need to know the reality of what happened when we were born again. We need to know the reality of what happened when we were born again, and that is a reality. We've talked about that some. But I want us to turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll start there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? If you've been born again, you're in Christ. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that's Jesus, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, when you were born again, something happened to you. It wasn't that you just said, if you believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not that you just agree with some church doctrine or something somebody said. Something changed in the real you. So you were spiritually dead, whether you knew it or not, before you got born again. And when you called on the name of Jesus, that old man, it was dead. He was dead. She was dead. Spiritually speaking, you might have been walking on the outside. You're alive on the outside, but the inward man was dead to God. To be dead spiritually means you're separated from God. You didn't have a relationship with God. But when we became born again, it's not just something, some exercise we went through. We became a new creation. And like we talked about in a previous time, something happened on the inside. Our Father, we were actually born again in the spiritual, not in the natural. We weren't new in the natural. We didn't have to go and be reborn. But we were reborn in the spiritual. And when we are born again in the spiritual, God is now our Father. So we're born again. And now the family, our family looks like God the Father. We're in the family of God. See, that's why we say we're brothers and sisters in Christ. This will take on new meaning. It's not just meaning we're a brotherhood. You know, people of all kinds of beliefs can say, well, we're brothers. You know, gangs do this. Other religions say, well, we're brothers or sisters in this. But so we are literally in the same family, spiritually speaking, because when you're born again, you're reborn with God as your Father, Jesus as your big brother, and all the Christians that are in the family got born again into that same family. And you can't get into this family by your works, by how good of a person you are. See, that wouldn't do it. Think about it. You're dead on the inside, and you're walking around in a natural body. And you do a bunch of good stuff in this natural body. it doesn't do anything to change who you are on the inside, right? You could get around, you could go out and get in your car and drive a bunch of, do a bunch of things and do a bunch of good things in your car. You know, you could go deliver things or whatever, but you're in your car. Just because you're doing things in your car doesn't change you, right? It doesn't, just you're in the car. Just because you did a bunch of things in the car doesn't mean you're a different person now. Well, spiritually speaking, people have it completely backwards. Religion has it backwards. Religion will tell you that you, the natural you, has to go out and do a lot of stuff, and then God will accept you. Well, if you're this outward person, and the inward person is dead, you can go do all the good things you want to do, and you're still dead on the inside. You can look so good on the outside, but you're still dead on the inside. And you can do a bunch more stuff, and still dead. And do 10 years worth of more good works, and you're still dead. Right? No, the only way to get in the family of God is you had to say, God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for me and raised for my benefit, and I believe on him. And that's the only way I can come into this family. And by doing that and confessing that and believing it in your heart, then you're born again into the family of God. That's the only way to get there. And then that's what this is talking about here in verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So now, again, so we said, you couldn't do anything on the outside to change the inside. If you were dead in the inside and you did all these good things on the outside, you're still dead on the inside. But once you become born again, it didn't mean that the outside suddenly, flip a switch, now I'm a super good person. You know, yesterday I'm dead on the inside and questionable on the outside, but now I'm born again, so everything now on the outside has changed. No. And everything on the inside's changed. You're born again. You're a child of God. But guess what? Unless there's something supernatural happen, which this does happen, if you were dealing with habits before you were born again, you're going to deal with habits after you're born again. And by the power of God, you can get rid of them. But usually they don't just drop off immediately like, ooh, I mean, that does happen. I remember Kenneth Copeland talking about how he was trying to quit smoking. And he ended up trying, and then he just left. He ended up, he left his cigarettes like in the, what's that called?
The sun visor.
And he went into a meeting, and he forgot they were even there. And then it was like, I don't know how many days he came out, realized he hadn't smoked a cigarette. Because God just delivered him. Well, okay. I mean, that happens. But there's a lot of things people are thinking that's the way it always happens. And then if it doesn't, they're discouraged. But no, you have a lot of times you have to do something with the outside man. But just because you fail on the outside doesn't mean you're suddenly dead on the inside again either. The Bible says here, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you are righteous in him. I'm talking about your new man. Your inward man. Doesn't mean everything about you. We are being sanctified, being set apart, but we're not pristine. You still have to deal with your flesh. You still have to put your flesh down. You still have to deal with it. But what we have to realize is that we are righteous and that we can't let when... See, the thing is, and the temptation is that if you fail, well, let's back up a second. Number one, you have to know, and we talked about this, is that if you've been born again, like we said, all things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So anything you did before you were born again, they're gone. You have to know that. Now, if you did something and you broke the law, the law doesn't recognize that, you know, you may be born again, but they don't say, they say you're still John Doe. You broke the law here and you still did it, and you have to deal with consequences or something. If you did certain things to some family member or whatever, there's a reality that you actually did that on this earth. But from God's point of view, it's washed away. It's just, it's gone. Because you, the person, is gone. There's a brand new person on the inside, and you can trust God to help you walk through anything that may have happened before you're born again, and He will. And He will help you to build, to restore relationships and get, help you supernaturally to get out of certain things. But, and that's a big deal for some people. Some people, before they were born again, did certain things they're ashamed of, and the devil, if you're not careful, will beat you over the head and said, you're paying. These things that are happening in your life today are payment for what happened back then. And you have to know that, no, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All those things have passed away. Behold, I'm a new creation, and I don't have to pay for that. Jesus paid for that. I'm new. I don't have to pay for that. So you have to know that. And you have to know the reality of that. So if you are born again and you are righteous in God, you've been recreated, you are righteous in Him, but then, and this is the thing that'll trip a lot of people up, maybe they, you know, did some stuff before they were born again, but, you know, they said, okay, and they got the truth that that's kind of this divide, right? And I can flush all that stuff away, got it. Now, I'm not so concerned with that stuff. Some people say, it's just what I did yesterday or a week ago. Now I've been a Christian, I still messed up. Now what do I do? And this is something Satan will beat you up with if you let him. And we have to know the reality of what Jesus did for us. And we have to know the reality in the way to walk in that and to make it ours. Because otherwise, Satan will beat you up and he'll condemn you. Your heart will condemn you, number one, if you do things wrong. But you, if we know what Jesus did for us and the power of the blood of Jesus, we can walk free from condemnation and walk in the reality of what Jesus really bought and paid for. But if you don't, this is one of the biggest things that Satan, and it will, what we're talking about is how to have strong faith. That's what this whole series is about. It's called, we're talking about steps to the highest kind of faith. If you don't understand what Jesus has done and your rights and privileges because of that, and especially when it comes to when you fail, you will be robbed of confidence to believe God. Because Satan will come along and said, how can you believe God? Look what you did. Look what you did yesterday. I can't believe you said that to your children. I can't believe you said that to your spouse. What did you do? Why did you do this or that? And you've known this for years and you still haven't done it. And it doesn't matter where you are. He'll keep you beat up. And when you go to believe God and you have something come into your life and you believe in God, if you go to believe God against some kind of attack or trial or whatever, Satan will say, you don't have the faith for it. You don't have, you've been messing up. You deserve this. This is in your life because you messed up. And if you don't understand the reality of what Jesus did, you may try to put on a good show and say, no, in the name of Jesus. But inside, you're not strong. You're inside, you're saying, that's right, but we'll see if this works anyway. In the name of Jesus, and it's not going to work. It won't work. Why? Because you're not convinced. You're not strong in faith. How do these things come? They come by faith. You believe. And it's not something you work up. It's not something you try real hard to do. If you just know the truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. If you know your legal privileges and Satan comes to you and you know how to combat him, then you can stand up against him and say, no, I don't deserve this. No, there's no legal grounds for this. But if you don't know that, you're going to take his lies and say, yeah, you're probably right. Even if you don't actually say that, you're acting like you're coming against it. You may have fooled yourself like you're coming against it, but inside, you don't really believe anything's going to change. Does anybody know what I mean? Okay, I'm saying we play a game sometimes in Christian circles, and I've been around the thing long enough to know and to see. You feel condemned. You feel beat up. You feel like, I'm not going to make it, but I've heard in church, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to believe, and just maybe it will work. That's what you're really thinking. I'm hoping it's going to work. And when I say hoping, I'm not talking about biblical hope, which is confident expectation. What I'm talking about is wishing. You're saying, like it's a magic wand. I hope it's going to work. I hope I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to believe against sickness, or I'm going to believe that God's going to help me, but I'm just wishing that somehow it's going to work because I know I've blown it enough. I really don't deserve it. I really don't have any confidence, but I'm just kind of throwing my prayer up there and hope it's going to stick. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that's not the way we're supposed to live. If you blow it, that's the time you need to have strong faith in what Jesus did, and you need to take him at his word, and you need to stand on what he said and believe that his blood is sufficient. Then number one, you're recreated in righteousness, and if you blow it, there's something you can do about that. And then you get up boldly and go forward. And this takes faith. And you cannot go by feelings here. If you go by feelings, you'll sit there and go, I blew it, I blew it, I blew it, I blew it. Darn it anyway, I blew it. And I'm just going to sit here, and if you even think about, well, but I'm righteous, you say, no, I know all that stuff, but I don't feel like it. And that's where this is, you got to know how clear this is. Because you'll feel like you're not. But if the Bible says you are, then what are we going to do? See, if we go by feelings, this is what will happen. You'll mess up. You'll feel bad. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. Your conscience will bother you. But when we take care of it, which we'll talk about here, then you have to go on. But if you walk by feelings, what you'll do is you'll beat yourself up until you feel like it's been long enough. You won't say it like this, because if you've heard the word long enough, you won't say it this way. But what you're really doing is you're doing penance. And even though you would say, I don't believe in penance, that's some other, you know, certain segments of Christianity, certain denominations, they believe in that, but I sure don't. But you may act like you do. And how can you tell? You can tell when you blow it, how do you act? If you think you need to pay for it, like I'm not going to really ask, I'm not going to pull on God for anything because until this much time has elapsed, then I feel like, you know, it's kind of this waiting period and now I can go back to God. That's penance. You might as well get out certain things that we say we don't believe in and just start going through them and acting, you know, just going through all whatever. Because you're doing the same thing whether you call it penance or not. You're trying to earn your position back with God. And that's not the way we ought to live. Let's look at let's go look at 1 John 1:9 and believe with me here, because we need to know our righteousness in God And this right here is so important. And if you understand this properly, this will increase your faith. That's what we're talking about, right? If you want to have strong faith, if you understand what the Bible is saying here, and I will say this, I'm not going to dive into this a lot. This aspect, I've talked about certain things before. But this is not the only place in the Bible that talks about confessing your sins. The Bible talks about it all throughout. And I just want to say one thing. You realize there's one place in the Bible where it specifically tells you how to get born again. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes, with the mouth confession is made of salvation. It tells you exactly what to do. But it talks about being born again all throughout the New Testament. Well, go just look at how many times it talks about repentance in the Bible. When you repent of something, and it talks about confession in different places too. But when you repent, you're saying what I did was wrong, and I'm turning from it. Well, what did you? If you're saying it implies confession, because if you say I'm not going to do it anymore. Why would you say that unless what you did is wrong, right? So it implies that you're turning from something, which implies confession. So this is where it tells you what to do about it. This is not the only place in the Bible where it addresses this. So this is not a one-off. This is godly, and it is all through Scripture. When David came, and when he said, He had Uriah killed, and he had committed adultery, and he went to God and he said, God, I've sinned against you. That was repentance. That was confession. Notice he didn't have to go and say, I did this and I did this and I did. He just said, I've sinned. In one swoop, he just said that. And see, don't get caught up in people because they've had, there's different reasons why people get, because of their background or whatever, but they're susceptible for the devil beating them up over every little thing, and they become super legalistic about stuff. And so they start thinking they have to confess every little thing, if they've heard any teaching here, and they think when they make a mistake, that applies here. This applies to when you sin. Sin is when you do something against God. This is not talking about making a mistake, like I did some, you know, I forgot something. Or I inadvertently made an omission. I didn't do something, and I'm learning and I'm growing, but I messed up and I did. See, people, so then they're not perfect and they're not doing everything and they think I'm sinning all the time, so they're constantly going to God saying, forgive me, I haven't done it, forgive me. And that would drive anybody nuts. But that's not what this is talking about. It's when you go and you do something you know you should not have done. You knew it, you did it anyway. You got mad, you did whatever. You're sinning. You did. But it's not talking about every little thing. And so people get this idea, well, I can't possibly do every little thing, so therefore I'm chucking the whole thing, and we don't have to confess anything. And I'm telling you right now, if you try to go there, your conscience is going to bother you. And it will bother you. And you'll try to say, but it's okay, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. And that's true, but you've sinned in the flesh, and your conscience will beat you up left and right. Believe me. If there's a way you could do this, that would be great, but you can't. Your conscience won't let you do it. Later in this book, in 1 John 3, it says, if your heart condemns you not, you have confidence toward God. Just look at it real quick. Because this is what we're talking about. And guys, I just want to get this. If you can grasp a hold of what we're talking about tonight. This will boost your faith. I'm telling you, like, it's so much. Because you'll see the legality and the freedom and what this is really saying. You won't be caught up in, well, I just don't know, and go, well, God loves me anyway, and it's okay, and but your conscience is constantly bothering you. This is the way to get your conscience clean. To know legally it's done, and to stand and to look the devil in the eye and not mess with all his tricks, because he's so devious. It says, verse 20, chapter 1 John 3, verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." See, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence. If you have confidence, you have faith. And you believe, and then what does it say? "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him." See, you are in a position where you are believing God, you're confident, and you can go to Him and you say, "God, I believe You," and you're standing up, not like, "I know I did it wrong, but God, You love me anyway, and I just believe that You accept me fine." You can tell yourself that all day. You can tell yourself, "God just loves me anyway. God, yeah, He loves you, but your conscience is bothering you, and you won't get it. You won't get rid of it by just saying how much He loves you, because you know you did something wrong." Have you ever seen, you that have children, have you ever seen this in action when your child did something wrong, and they are guilty? And they may go for a while and say, "It's all right. It's just, you know, it's fine. I'm not going to. I got away from, got away with it." I know what it's like. You know what it's like when you were a child. I remember I did something. My parents didn't know anything about it. I did. I'm not going to even say what it was. It wasn't that bad, but I don't want to say it. Give people ideas, but anyway, I did something, and it wasn't that big, but my parents didn't know about it. I'm telling you, my conscience bothered me, and then finally I had to say, "Mom," I think it was just my mom, you know, that time, "I did this. You were gone, and I did this." And you just want your conscience cleansed. And if you got a spanking or whatever, it's like, justice has been served. I'm done. Oh, I feel so much better than a guilty conscience. Is that true? Have you ever watched your child go through that? And they're just not right. Something is going on with them. They're agitated, whatever. And then you find out they did something that they didn't tell you about, and they were feeling guilty. That's why they're agitated. That's why they're upset so easily. And then they tell you, and they're crying or whatever, and you discipline or whatever, but then, oh, you think that's just children? No, God, and then, well, but when you grow up and you learn the truth, well, you just, it doesn't matter, because God always loves us. Let me ask you something. Did you love your child the whole time when they were feeling guilty? But until they told you about it and admitted that was wrong, they felt guilty. Did that change your love for them at all? No. But it changed them. And it's the same thing with the Lord, only there are legal ramifications as well. See, if the devil knows that you did something wrong, he's going to accuse you. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's going to say, "You did this, you did it, and if you don't know how to combat, and the best you have is, but God loves me anyway," yeah, He loves you, but you did it. And He'll just stay on you. And He won't let you off. But if you stand up, see, this is what this is talking about. If you look at 1 John, and I you know, when we've gone through this, some of you have heard some of this, but this is in light, in context of what we're talking about, having strong faith. This is vital. And so I can't go into everything here, but in context, yes, He's talking to Christians. Yes, He is talking to believers. This is not just something talking to somebody else. The whole book is written to believers. And He's talking about, in verse 9, He said, if we confess our sins, but let's just go back a little bit. In verse 7, He said, "But if we walk in the light, Or even verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll just say this. See, even in certain Pentecostal circles, see, people have gotten messed up because this was used to get people. People would use this for a sinner. And they'd say, you have to confess your sins in order to get saved. This is not talking to a sinner. This is talking to a Christian. Just look at what we talked about in 2 Corinthians. What did it say when you get born again? It said, you are a new creation. Did it say anything about your sins just being forgiven? They're remitted. They're gone. And how? And what? In the Bible, how do you get born again? I don't have time to turn there, but we just quoted it in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth what? Does it say if you confess your sins? No, it says if you confess Jesus. That's how you get born again. You confess Jesus. It didn't say anything about you confessing your sin. See, for a sinner to confess his sin is like a prisoner saying, I'm in prison. I'm in prison. Good. A sinner sins. So a sinner, by definition, is a sinner. For him to confess a sin is just like, yep, that's what I am. Okay, that's not going to get you born again. How do you get born again? You confess Jesus. So see, this can't apply to getting born again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The sinner doesn't get his sins forgiven. The sinner gets his sins remitted. They're gone. This is not talking to sinners. It's talking. It doesn't line up with the rest of Scripture. It's talking to believers. And it's not talking about relationship. It's talking about fellowship. And we're not talking about every little thing that you did wrong unknowingly. What we're talking about is when you did something and you knew it was wrong and you did it anyway. And you know your conscience is bothering you. You do not want to go to God. And go back to what we talked about with your child or you. Let me ask you a question. When you were growing up and you did something wrong, you knew it was wrong, did that make you want to go and hang out with your mom and dad? You knew you did something wrong against them. You knew it was wrong. Did that make you real comfortable just hanging out with them? Did it make you comfortable? Did you want to go just hang out with them? Why? Because your conscience was bothering you. You felt uncomfortable. You knew you did something wrong. And if you try to do this with God, he hasn't changed. He loves you. And unlike earthly parents, he knows exactly what you did. You may have pushed something over on your parents, but he knows exactly what you did. But you know what you did, and if you try to do that and say, well, it's all right, it's okay between me and God. See, that's what this is in verse 6 it's talking about. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. If I say God and me, we're good, and we know that we're doing something he told us not to do, and I'm saying, but we're good, we're lying because you know you're being bothered. You follow this? So, what's the solution then? If you know, this is what, we're not talking about relationships. Some people have said, well, this is talking about being not born again or born again, you have to confess everything or else you're not born. We're not talking about that. You're in the family. You're fine, you're in the family. But, yeah, if you've done something, and we're not talking about just every little mistake, we're talking about you did something on purpose. You know you did it, you're bothering you, and that your conscience is bothering you, and the devil's beating you up about it. Okay, you did something like that. We're talking about fellowship with God. And not just that, the devil will use it to beat you up. And that's what we're really focusing on because we're talking about having strong faith. What do? This is what it tells you to do. And this is where if you have strong faith in this, this will set you free. This is where you have to look at the Word and you have to take it for what it says. Verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, confess your sins. That means to say what God says about it. You say, like David said, I've sinned. That was wrong. And this is, sometimes your pride will keep you from doing this. You know you said something wrong. You know you shouldn't have said that to that person. And if you try to act like, it doesn't make any difference. Let's say you said it to your spouse. You said something wrong, and you try to be like, I'll just pretend I didn't say that and go on. Number one, they probably knew you said it. And right there, fellowship between you and them. You know you said it. Even if they don't say anything, you know there's just kind of like, well, you've said that. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to look over. But you know it just kind of got a little colder. But then you might just push it off. But then when you go to God and you say, all right, now I'm believing something. But I know what I did. I should not have said that. I know it was mean. I knew I shouldn't have. Your conscience will bother you. And so if you say, you know what, that was wrong. Number one, you have to go to the person too. Don't just go to God and say, well, I'll just gloss over the person. No, go to the person and say, you know what, that was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And then with God, say, you know, God, that was wrong. I'm sorry. Instead of trying to just gloss over it, I'm telling you, it will not work. It doesn't line up with the Bible. If you think the devil will not use this against you, you haven't messed with him. Because you go to believe something and you know you did something wrong. I'm not talking about making something up in an overactive conscience. I'm saying you know what you did. And then you go to try to believe God on something, he's going to bring up and say, what are you doing? What'd you do? So we can either try to just push that down and say, no, it's all right. I didn't do anything wrong, la, 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 la. Or you can say, it was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. And you confess that, you say what God says about it, say, you know what, that was wrong. And I'm telling you, your flesh won't want to do this sometimes, and it's keeping you from walking in the faith you should, because you'll be stubborn, like, I don't want to admit I was wrong. I don't want to say that I was wrong. Okay. And you just stay in this steady state, going around this circle, but if you'll just say, and you know, we can learn to get quicker about this, yep, I was wrong, that was dumb, I shouldn't have done it. Or, let's say the other scenario, you know darn well it was wrong, and you know you feel bad about it, but you just don't want to do, you just feel so bad about it, you don't even want to say anything to God about it. You're like, I know it was wrong, and I'm tired, and I've done it 20 other times, and I just don't want to say it, forget it. I just can't do it. I'm not good enough. See, that's the other thing. So you're just going to stay there, and instead of going to God, you're just going to beat yourself up. Forget it. I just can't do it. Forget it. It's too hard. See, this is what then people will look for other doctrines and start saying, see, we just can't do it, so forget anything about doing anything about it. Let's just go into this. It doesn't matter. And you go over there, guess what? Your conscience is not going to change. It's still going to bother you. And the devil, fine. You want to go over there? Fine. But you're not going to have a clean conscience before God. And you're not going to have strong faith. He doesn't care. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, he's a deceiver. But what do? You do exactly what this is talking about. When you messed up and you know you messed up and it's the 800th time that you've done the same thing, you have a choice. You can say, I just can't do it. I'm so stupid. I just can't do it. And God, I don't deserve to have anything from God. And you may not voice it like this, but you're just not going to go to God. You're going to go over and mope and just be like, it's not worth it. Forget it. I'm not going to serve God. I'm just going to be mad. I'm going to go do something. You can do that and put it off. See, whether it's that way or it's that I just don't want to say I was wrong in something, if you don't do this and just don't take the word at face value, then you'll stay in the same state. We're talking about having strong faith. But if we'll learn to just quickly If our conscience bothers us, if we know we did something wrong, just say, it says, if we confess our sins. What does that mean? You say, you know what? I blew it, God. He already knows that. Just say, I blew it. It says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But see, we did something in our flesh, in our mind. We sinned on this earth. You gave the enemy access. He's beating you up on your conscience, is condemning you, and the devil's helping you. Just right there, alongside, saying, yes, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. What this says is that you go to God and you say, yeah, that was wrong. I'm sorry. And it says, God Almighty, the highest power in the universe, says He'll forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That means anything that came with what you did, any penalty for sin, anything like that is taken care of right there. And you are clean just as if you've never sinned. Now, am I saying your relationship with God, this is where people get confused or say, what, I thought I was already born again. You are born again, but we're talking about maintaining that relationship, maintaining your walk on this earth. If your conscience bothers you, you take care of it, and guess what? If you were condemned about it and you confess it, now Satan has no legal ground to bring anything against you. That doesn't mean he won't try. He will bring something against you, and this is where you have to know what the Word says for yourself. You go and say, no. I mean, I've had to do this. Every person that's walked by faith has to do this. You're not going to do everything perfect. And when you do, you have to know what to do. You have to know. Just the quicker that you do it, you don't wallow in it and say, I blew it. We already know that. You can do that for 3 days, or you can do it immediately. You can just keep going that direction, or you can stand up and say, yes, I blew it. Lord, I'm sorry. That was wrong, but you said in your word that if I'd confess it, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I am clean. There's nothing. And that takes faith sometimes, because your flesh wants to beat you up. Your flesh doesn't want to get up and walk with God. You'd rather sit there and wallow for 3 days. You'd rather sit there and watch TV or go eat a pizza or whatever. I'm not saying pizza's wrong, but you know, I'll eat 3 pizzas right now because I don't want to get up and I messed up again and I'm just going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to watch a bunch of movies I shouldn't watch. But anyway, I've earned it because I've messed up. Okay, what's that going to do for you? You're going to be there tomorrow and the next day. Or we can take God with what he, at face value, and he said, all I have to do is acknowledge it, and the God of the universe says, that's it. And you get right back up and say, God, my feelings just want to beat me over the head. My feelings want to say, I want to stay here. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible. But you said I'm clean, so I am clean. And Satan comes at you and says, this that's coming in your life, that's a result of you messing up. And you look and say, Mr. Devil, it says here, I already acknowledged that. And it says that God would forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, so you have no legal right. I don't deserve any penalty for sin. And you stand right up boldly and say, therefore, this thing has to go, and it is not because of what I did. It has to go. I am on complete, solid, legal ground. I am standing in the righteousness and in the reality of what Jesus has done. And I'm telling you what, that it's just like, you know, the child that learns that I came back and I just go to mom and dad quick when I blow it. You can walk in that security all the time. Amen. This is one of the biggest things, and the devil has tried to obscure this, mess with it, get people into ditches, get people away from it. I'm telling you, it takes faith to walk in this. It takes faith to forgive yourself. But if you'll take God at His word and just stand up and go forward, just the freedom and the confidence that you have with Him, with the Lord. Because you know what He said. And then you watch it. If you take Him at His word here, and even when you don't feel like it, you forgive yourself and you say, no, I'm clean anyway, you watch how that affects your faith in other areas. Then when He says something, you start to realize, I don't feel like this is true, but just like this other place, it's still true. It doesn't matter if I feel like it or not. And it strengthens you. Faith is the same in all areas. Thank you, Lord. When I really got a hold of this and saw this, I'd gone back, because I had had different ideas about that. And I was one that felt I would probably be in the legalistic area where, I'm doing this wrong. So I'm constantly saying things. But when I realized this, there were certain things that I realized I'd been carrying with me for years. This puts an end to it. This cleanses your conscience. It's like your child getting a spanking or you getting a spanking when you're little. It's like, I've paid for it. Not that you're paying for it in this sense, but that it puts closure to it. It's like, no, it's paid for. It's done. Whereas if you try to just limp along and your conscience bothers you, and it bothers you, it can bother you for years. And there were certain things when I realized that, I went back and I said, there are things that I feel guilty about certain things. I've tried to put away, but I didn't apply faith to this and say, Jesus or God, You said this right here. And right now, I just went back to some stuff and said, I'm on this verse right here and what the Word teaches. I am confessing this right now and saying that was wrong, but I'm also receiving Your complete and total cleansing for it, and it is over. And if the devil ever brings it up, it's gone. Because God said it's completely in my past, and He's already taken care of it, so I don't have to worry about it. And I'm telling you, there is something about that. If you'll put your faith in that line there, that you can walk stronger and freer, and you can put stuff, because I'm not trying to confess things back. You don't have to ever sin again. We don't have to, but if you do fail, that you can put it behind you quickly and get up and go on and be strong and not have to keep looking back and not have to wonder about it, and you can get strong. The devil points out something you did before, you say, I already took care of that. I know I took care of that. Shut up. You're just barking up the wrong tree, because I know my rights and privileges. I know what the Word says. And it strengthens you and allows you not to get batted around. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We're talking about having strong faith.